Hey, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 10. This is Colin McMahon, owner and operator of Pittsburgh Comics. I'm back this week after a fun week last week. Not that this isn't fun. It was different fun. But we got another crew, new faces again, which is always good. So let me have them introduce themselves, starting to my left.
Chad Ramston.
Adam Russell.
Joe F., I'm the handsome one.
Sean Sisson.
Ryan Sargent.
Jeremy Dan.
Matt Lytle.
Okay, we're using a new setup this week, a little different recorder situation, so hopefully this works out a little better. I know we were having a little audio trouble, just getting everybody clear, so hopefully this will work.
I'm here too.
Oh, and sorry, I forgot all about you.
I just don't know who's to the left and who's to the right, because I'm in Cleveland, so I'm to the far left.
Well, we're all to the right, so yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Sorry, your face wasn't on the computer screen, so I'm watching my sound go long. I feel like I'm watching CSI. But so I figured we had a lot of neat stuff come out last week. I figured we'd just kind of quickly go over some of that. Like Fear Itself, I feel, really kicked it up, and Flashpoint gave us some big surprises. And then we'll move on to some other stuff, because I know people are probably a little tired of hearing about the same two subjects every week, but it's kind of what's going on right now. So I guess let's start with Fear Itself. Sean, you're not reading it, so you don't count. But who wants to jump in on Fear Itself? What did they think of Fear Itself 4?
It was the first week that it was better than Flashpoint. Or the first month that I thought it was better than Flashpoint.
I'll give you that. The problem was we're 4 months in, especially you're 4 issues in if you count that the Book of the Skull. It was okay, but
I don't think it was better than Flashpoint, but it was the first comic that I felt like was a whole comic story and not just part of an intro.
Yes, yes. And I guess part of my problem with all the other tie-in books that I haven't read a whole lot, because Marvel's taught me that you don't need to read the tie-ins because nothing happens. But most of the tie-ins seem to reflect what happened in issues 1 and maybe a little bit of issue 2. So I'm hoping now that something has really happened, we'll get some of that reflected.
I think the X-Men tie-in has really got me excited about the X-Men fighting the Juggernaut. Okay, so pretty much a run-of-the-mill story that we've seen a number of times, but they're doing it in a way that it's something I haven't seen before.
Okay. See, but now I didn't read that because I haven't been reading Uncanny, so that's one of the things I don't like about the way Marvel does this, is so much happens outside of the main book that, you know, they said, no, you just need to read the main storyline to get everything, but obviously you're not, because Juggernaut, I don't even think he appeared in the main Fear Itself book.
The other
Juggernaut's fighting every team this month, or the last
Well, yeah, he was fighting Thunderbolts, wasn't he?
He was fighting the Thunderbolts, and he was fighting the Youth in Revolt, and he was fighting, is that it? Three teams?
Yeah.
He gets around, you know.
Yeah.
It's like every stage of his cross-country, because they're doing the whole cross-country thing.
No one's stopping him.
So at each step in the road, he fights somebody.
Oh, I get it. But at least I'm happy with this issue that they finally developed the bad guy. They've explained a little more who he is. Thor actually did something. Although I found it kind of funny where they showed him getting thrown out of Asgard and him landing and his hammer landing next to him. It's like, gosh, I feel I just saw this in the theater. How much are they tying into the movies? How much of this is because of the movies? Chad? Pipe in. You got nothing?
Nothing.
Don't worry. Most of the first-timers are quiet.
I'll speak up.
Okay, we want you to
Steve
talk.
Rogers in the cap suit fighting is refreshing.
Yes, absolutely. It looked a little odd with him with the Tommy gun or whatever it was.
Giant machine gun, yeah. And the book bag and the helmet.
Yeah. But it was good to see that, you know, see that play out, but it, I don't know, lots of
Was the Tony Stark moment the biggest thing for you or just me? I thought that was really cool.
It was good. It just seemed odd. You know, a sacrifice of this that, you know, he could easily turn that around. You know, I don't know. As far as a sacrifice, drinking a bottle of wine that is cleverly labeled Demon in the Bottle.
With his picture.
It's a good brand. It was a good year, Demon in the Bottle.
Absolutely. I'll give you that.
With the picture of the Iron Man helmet.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Nick, as a fan, I think that was a huge moment for him. I mean, he's been off the bottle for real life 30 years now.
It reminded me of 20 years. When Reed Richards had to embrace magic in order to fight Dr. Doom in a Mark Waid story where he had to just give into his ego. That was like the thing that was holding him back. So he had to just admit that there was things he didn't know, and that gave him power. It was like the one thing he couldn't give up. And the same with this Tony story. It's like he can sacrifice his life. He puts his life in the line all the time. It's almost commonplace. This is almost, you know, the worst thing that he can do.
True. My concern with it is, now are we going to get a year of mopey Tony drunk?
I think it's
regretting his life. So, you know, I don't want to see those kind
of
stories.
As long as we get the armor with the roller skates back, I'm all for it, Tony.
Okay, fair enough.
And then Dazzle with roller skates, and everybody in roller skates.
Sweet.
That'll be the next event. Let's bring back
Xanadu Avengers, or Avengers Xanadu.
It's kind of like what you were saying, though. Part of me kind of read that little thing and thought that if you're not an alcoholic, I don't know if the scene carries as much weight, because I kind of read that and was like, wow, Tony had a drink. You know, it's a big deal, but, you know, I can't relate to having, like, one drink and suddenly, like, the last 30 years have, become meaningless.
Are you calling Nick and I alcoholics?
No. I'm just saying, like, I saw it as a big deal, but at the same time, it's like, Tony's a shrewd guy, so I was looking at that, like, he did what he had to do to get in to see the wizard, like, Tony always does, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's to say all of that's going to carry over when he gives back? Now, granted, they probably will have it carry over because it'll make for good stories, but part of me didn't feel, like, overly moved by it.
Right.
I know I should have been,
right.
But, like, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, but I just saw it as him doing what he had to do to get in. To get in the door to have his own.
I agree, because I don't think he's actually going to become like an alcoholic after this one drink again, and it's going to continue like that. I just can't see that. And if it does, it seems kind of lame than that.
Still, though, the stories where Tony Stark deals with his addiction, I think, are the best Iron Man stories. You know, and the idea that he's his own worst enemy, and that, you know, that overcoming his alcohol addiction is a challenge for him. I think those are the best Iron Man stories. You know?
It's so unique.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And this builds on that.
Okay. Now, one thing Marvel's been... Oh.
I was just going to say, this might be setting up Iron Man 3, right? Because they keep playing the alcohol up in the movies.
That's true.
He starts taking a drink now. By the time they get the movie first and out, he'd be getting off the bottle right in time for the movie.
Well, who's in Cleveland?
Nick.
I am.
Nick, you know, they're starting the casting for the Avengers movie this week.
Saturday, I'll be there at 8 a.m.
Up at the Holiday Inn in Rockside Road up in Cleveland.
I'll be there in my best suit.
And but did you see one of the promos that they're casting for are bar patrons?
Oh, man, you should go
there. Yeah, we're in. Hey, it's right beside my office, so
I'm the ultimate bar patron.
There we go. They even are shooting at the Winking Lizard.
Oh, wow.
The Winking Lizard, I like it.
Okay. There's a whole chain out here.
Okay. Now, one of the things we've been seeing on the news sites, or at least CBR, has been showing these new images. And Sean and I were talking a little bit online about it. I think the first one was Iron Fist, second one was Doctor Strange, at which point I questioned, are they relaunching New Avengers? Because that was two of the original New Avengers. And then the one today was She-Hulk.
Yeah, right, She-Hulk.
And I'm sure we're going to learn more about this, especially it looks like they're going to announce it at San Diego, which I hate this time of year because everything's shrouded in mystery because they, you know, start leaking little things and we have to wait another week and a half to find out what's going on. And then one thing Sean said is he thought that it looked like it was going to be the Worthy that they've been talking about.
The Mighty.
And then I kind of go, well, wait a minute, because this is showing it's coming out in December, so that's clearly well after Fear itself. But then there is something coming called The Worthy, where they just showed those preview images. I think that's where we got confused, because it's definitely Doctor Strange and Iron Fist are in that group. And so it looks, I guess what I'm... it looks like Odin is going to make his own team to combat...
I thought The Worthy were the bad guys that got the hammers.
The Worthy are. The Mighty are the...
The Mighty are the good guys. Okay. I'm confused.
But then the little Tron suits.
Hey, you can't remember what the frat boys are doing.
Right. Well, you know, I am DC-centric. But it just I just find everything a little confusing. It's like Odin already said, oh, we're going to throw them away. We're over halfway through the book now. Now all of a sudden he's going to amp up the heroes. And weren't they already amped up in Siege? And it just seems like we're repeating the same themes over and over with Marvel. And I guess maybe that's why I'm liking Flashpoint so much. Segue. Because everything seems different. This is stuff I haven't seen before.
Maybe
All the heroes got amped up.
Well, it has Guardian put together the Avengers in the first place, so it's apropos for a new generation of Asgardians being put together by another one.
True. My fear is that Loki is going to be the key to all this, as he was the key in Siege, you know, at least with the Nornstones and causing the problems, but...
And dying for a while.
For a little while. But not that many people... I don't want everybody to have to have read the last four issues of Journey into Mystery to be able to understand this big, you know, book that was, again, supposedly self-contained, which clearly isn't.
I don't think you have to read Journey into Mystery. I think that may show you a little bit of Loki's motives.
No, but if Loki all of a sudden comes through and... They only have three issues to wrap this up, and that doesn't seem like they have a whole lot. We still need a big fight and everything.
To be perfectly honest with you, reading Journey into Mystery, that seems to be where it's going, is that he's going to show up at the end and almost be the hero of this.
Again.
Which, considering, you know, we keep talking about the movies, the way they're positioning the Avengers movie, you know, Loki will probably be one of the central villains, so you want to promote the Loki-Avengers connection so that everybody's on the same page next summer with the movies.
Well, I think you had a good point when you said, or somebody said, the Tron suits. I mean, I know Marvel just announced that they're not announcing a lot at Comic-Con because they're holding off till Disney Fest 2 weeks later. So you're going to see a lot more. I think that Disney's going to be taking a lot more of the central pull.
Maybe they're not announcing anything at Comic-Con because the last two have failed miserably.
Yeah.
Right?
Marvel Man
and Cross-Gen. I mean, we've seen like six Marvel Man books in 2 years, and we've seen...
And nothing new.
Yeah, and nothing new. And we've seen four or five Cross-Gen books that have probably sold 10 copies each nationwide.
I mean, that said, Ruse is pretty good.
Nick would be one of the 10 people buying the cross-gen books.
I bought all the cross-gen books back in the day, too. I like, Ruse is great. I mean, Mark Waid tells a good detective story, not to get too far off the subject, but you're right, they've been failing miserably. That's why I'm hoping when I go to New York Comic Con this year, it's going to be a bigger show.
Who's the artist on Ruse?
Oh, boy, now I have to look at that real quick. I've got a file here somewhere.
Does it follow the same continuity from the old cross-gen?
Yeah, I mean, they don't make any big deals. Not that book ever did, really, with the sigil or whatever. But
a word no one can pronounce, yes.
Yeah, whatever, how you pronounce it, who knows. But yeah, it's you know, it's pretty straightforward detective stuff.
Okay, but yeah, I'll agree, it's sold poorly. I think I've sold one of each of that one, and I sold one of the first issue of... But I pronounce it as sigil. No, I mean, it could. Who knows? It's like Dakin. Is it Dakin? Dakin? Dakin?
Dakin?
I usually say Dakin. That's actually my pick.
Probably more Japanese to say Dakin.
Right, but it's, you know, how about a pronunciation guy?
But Dakin's technically Canadian.
See, when you say Dakin, that makes me think of...
Is his mom Japanese?
No. Yeah. Shut up.
No. The story was that Dakin was raised in Japan. Outsider in Japanese.
Right.
Yeah, it's a Japanese word.
Yeah.
but it was just one of those, you know, they launched it half-heartedly. They just kind of threw it out there. Oh, well, they did promo posters, but it was one of those, is there a need for it? And for me, ordering it was, you know, how many cross-gen fans are there? Well, I obviously wasn't open when that came out. It's neat they had the properties, but I'd almost rather see them, you know, give me even just a cheap graphic novel of the original series first, so I can gauge, hey, look, this was really good. There's a new series coming. But yeah, it's failed miserably. Miracle Man was stillborn. Nothing's happened. They had a lot of hype about it. Everybody was interested in the more Gaiman stuff. Nobody wanted the stuff from the 50s, and it sold exactly like that. I think I stopped ordering the books even.
Expensive black and white reprints.
Very expensive. Yeah. And I think I got the first hardcover, and it was 100 and some pages on black and white on newsprint. For, I think, $40. It was like...
Well, and even if they could do the more game, and you would have thought they would have done something new.
Yeah, and they that was the impression you got. There was going to be some new stories. Okay, 2 years later, we still got nothing. Because I remember, sadly, that was one of those, following on Twitter, and, you know, they're hyping it up, and, you know, come on, watch live right now. Here it comes. And then it was the picture of Miracle Man, and everybody was kind of like... Or Marvel Man, sorry. And everybody was kind of like, what? That's it?
So interesting on the cross-gen thing, there's only one single issue of cross-gen books in the previous this one.
Okay. Well, what, there's well, a name of Mystic?
Yeah, Mystic.
They were all launched as minis.
Yeah, they were only minis, yeah. Yeah.
There's one trade and one front, one single issue.
Okay.
So let's, Flashpoint? We didn't talk about Flashpoint.
Yeah, let's talk about Flashpoint. You said you didn't like Flashpoint 3 as much as 4. I thought there was a lot going on, and I thought the Superman story was really interesting.
It was interesting when they did it with Captain America in 1940. I mean, oh, look, he's a super soldier project. Okay, great.
Well, no, Superman wasn't a super soldier project. Superman was captured. He landed and was captured and held underground.
Project Superman, they were talking about.
Right, but I'm not talking about Project Superman. Okay. I'm talking about actual Superman. I thought that was pretty interesting. Here he is, you know, why does he look so frail and everything? Because he'd never seen sunlight. All of a sudden he gets sunlight, and then at the end he takes off. And then...
Well, what about Krypto?
Oh,
that was so sad. That yeah. was so sad.
That's why we had
Subject
that...
Subject
2? Yes.
That's why we had that fill-in book for Superman a couple weeks ago.
Streaky's okay. still alive, though, right?
Was that the cat?
We'll find out, because there is a Subject 3, so...
That's probably Kara. Like,
yeah, I think it will... Maybe... Would the dog come before the
maybe
girl?
The horse?
Or Connor?
Oh,
Connor's a kid.
Comet?
Yeah. Comet?
Or maybe it's Bizarre.
Connor has
Legion of Super Pets. I mean, let's just talk about that for the next hour.
Okay, sure.
Colin,
what
was Subject to? What happened?
It was Krypto.
They just showed Krypto's bones skull. On a table. Or, yeah. Yeah.
They just said, "Oh, it looks like a canine." They experimented on it, and yeah. they just keep moving. But all the fans were just crying.
Yeah, we just saw it. We just kind of lingered on that page for a minute, going,
"Yeah, it's
oh.
funny though." You said it was like Captain America, but it's actually more like Captain America in reverse, where you yeah. have the guy that's like, we know him as the big muscled strong guy. Now he's frail. But
well, no, I think he was talking about the Project one where they started but, adding stuff to him. Did you read Project Superman?
Yeah, no, so, okay.
Captain
yet,
Sinclair
yeah.
or whatever that character's name yeah. is. Yeah.
So the idea is that they've been making all these advances scientifically off the discovery of Superman's ship and his body. Is that true?
No, I think it came before because the ship lands after Project.
Yeah, that's true. The ship yeah. landed after, although the ship clearly... Project Superman started a long time ago.
Before
yeah.
I think the idea they're going to get at is that they do get more technology or they get something out of Kal-El or whatever it is.
Okay.
But I like you, I'm interested in seeing how this changes Kal-El as a character.
Yeah.
Obviously, he looked pretty afraid when they popped out of the sewer grate and everyone was shooting at him. And he
right.
just
took now, was he left. Fleeing or, like somebody else said, well, he was flying up to the sun to charge up and come back. I'm like, well, but would he know that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
I was surprised he knew English.
I mean, he's probably been talked to by these people.
Right, but I figure if they treated him as a lab rat, maybe they wouldn't give him the same respect as a human being would really give him conversation.
Jor-El had the audio tapes.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Did he have the Rosetta Stone of Earth English?
The 5 years of suspended hollow school or whatever it was.
There
you
go. I was
he sleeps in a bed that teaches him at night, like Dean and Hank Venture.
I was questioning what he was doing when they came in, because he was just kind of sitting at a table, and there was nothing really in the room.
Yeah.
So. Well, they could have gave him a TV or something.
You don't want him to be educated, right?
Right.
I mean,
he's just going to
what's he
going to
do?
Reruns.
Yeah. Reruns of the Golden Girls.
And again, that might be worse. So.
But then something else we were talking about here earlier was some of the changes that they saw coming through with Flashpoint. Some of the characters coming through, the storylines coming through. Mm-hmm. And one of the things somebody brought up was maybe Thomas Wayne would come through. And I kind of... Well, I don't think it's going to happen because, especially after reading number 3, he seems so convinced that he wants his son to survive. I see him sacrificing himself at some key point at the end
all
of Flashpoint to make that happen.
Yeah.
Where he would give it all up. So I don't see that happening. But
that would be
terrible. There's definitely some interesting stuff that could come through. I don't know if anybody's reading Booster, but Bleeding Cool just did something. It was kind of funny. I noticed on my little flyer... On the cover of JL Justice League International, there's a character that's been removed.
Yes.
And further examination shows that the character from that original image is the Greek character from Booster Gold. So apparently she's going to come through. And it's kind of interesting seeing that, knowing some things are going to change and we are going to get some characters. So.
The one that looked like Donna Troy to begin with.
Yes. Well, then they just, DC released the images of Green Lantern number 1.
Right.
And it's got the main character is going to be Sinestro.
Right.
I knew it.
So, yeah, you know what? Can we pause for a moment to identify Ryan Sargent as scooping?
Ryan Sargent. See, I was worried you were talking about Little Ryan. I'm like, Little Ryan? I didn't know he was scooping anything. So that makes more sense.
When I saw that today, I kind of jumped up and down at work a little bit without anybody seeing. I was kind of excited when I called that one. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't want to have to explain why you're doing that.
No, right, because everyone would be like, oh, nerd. And
yeah. Yeah. Shut up.
Well, and I think the point you made that these characters will live on forever in Elseworld stories.
Yeah, because especially with the Batman story, I don't want just one more issue of that. No. I want a lot more issues of this Batman in this world.
It could be like Age of Apocalypse and House of M, where they return to it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But I mean, just man, that last Batman really.
I just say, I with that Batman, yummy. I learned my lesson. I'm never to click on anything that says spoilers ever.
Yeah,
ever
there you go.
Again.
Or sit in a comic book store while
Adam
is here.
I don't. I can honestly say I had that spoiled on Bleeding Cool before I got the issue in my hands. And I've never been so upset at having had something spoiled in my entire life as having that reveal spoiled at the end of the day.
If you're a Carmack like Sean.
You already know how Flashpoint ends. Fear itself.
honestly, not to make light of the books and stuff, but just about every comic out there anymore, if you can't sort of see where it's going, there is something seriously wrong. There was only like two possibilities for the Joker.
Okay, but I'm going to say 99.9% of the people thought it was Bruce.
Yeah. See, me actually not reading the book and not reading the storyline, as soon as I found out Thomas Wayne was Batman, I immediately, first thing that came to mind, oh, well, this person's going to be Joker.
Yeah, I'm calling shenanigans on that.
I don't think it was that obvious.
You probably don't have any influence on the book. Because the book, I think, kind of pushes you to think it was Bruce.
And that's exactly what they do in comics. They push you towards someone who it's not just to make you think that way.
But when you assume both, well, reading the book, you assume Bruce and Martha died.
Right.
But he never made that assumption.
Right, I never made that assumption.
Well, okay.
So immediately the first thing that came to mind.
Okay, I'm going to guess the Game of Thrones is about, no.
I did a social experiment with this book in particular. I gave it to somebody that had no clue about, they know the Batman story, and she doesn't read comics, she reads one, which is The Boys. So that kind of puts her in a whole different category. Needless to say, she's my fiance. But
as long as I'm a child, that's good.
She's reading the book and she's like, okay, asks me a question and she goes, oh, did they put like Heath Ledger's Joker in this?
Okay.
And then she goes, oh, this is Bruce's mom. She had no clue. She just saw. So,
Bruce's mom. Gotcha.
So.
So what do you guys think of the other big reveal? Are we allowed to talk about the other reveal on that, the Oracle one?
Sure. No, I didn't.
See, that
I didn't
one
mean,
surprised me more than the
it
Joker.
Surprised me. Not in a oh my gosh, it, but as a oh, and then the little head restraints. Does that mean she's a complete quadriplegic?
Probably. I took it to mean that.
That's what I took it to mean too. And I'm like, okay, but it also told me, no matter what happens, the Joker always does the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, nothing's like going to change. You know.
I mean, because I thought maybe everybody was shocked by it. I thought maybe I missed something.
Not shocking, but different.
I felt like Johns or Azzarello, whoever made that decision, just kind of went, all right, here's my four choices. Let me throw a dart at the board.
No, I don't see that. Because there is no Barbara. He never got married. There never was an Oracle. So that character never existed. But still, the same paths are going down. Batman needs that help. Yeah.
See, that was more shocking than the Joker.
The fact that Bruce knew who the Joker was knew what the Joker was doing. See, but you didn't read it, so
truthfully,
I'm saying you didn't get the plot points and the things pushing, like Matt said, pushing you in one certain direction.
Truthfully, I didn't really take the whole her being Oracle seriously because she just doesn't fit the part.
Well,
I don't understand how all of a sudden she's like an expert in like computers.
It's a different Selena. It's not the same.
It seems how she became that, though. Like,
Somebody that wants to fight crime that doesn't have the physicality to do that, I mean, that's an outlet.
And I guess this is where what you were saying, Collins, you know, you want more of this series. You want to see more. You want to see them do more issues of this. You want to see them explore it. And I guess that's the way I feel about the reveal at the end of the issue, is that I'm really waiting for issue 3. Like I was saying on Facebook, I buy Selena as Oracle. I can see that path, but I don't. I understand that watching your son be shot in front of you would make you go crazy. I don't understand how it would drive someone to put clown makeup on, but I want to see if they explain it.
Right.
I really want to see if they explain it. And if they do and they do it well, awesome. Great.
Well,
and if not,
they explained that earlier in the book where she was talking to the kids, saying what happens when you lose hope and fear.
Right, but I mean, but what's the impetus to say I'm going to dress like a clown versus I'm just going to go be crazy? But still,
because they have to have Joker.
Right, the exactly. There's that. The I thought about that, but I
don't think they can wrap all that up into one issue.
Right. Even if they say, like, oh, she collected clown dolls, I'd be okay with that. It's really weak, but
because it's DC Comics, if it was anything else, and it didn't have to be Joker, then she'd just go nuts and be killing people. Right. Wouldn't, you know, that's the only reason she has to be Joker.
I will say, though, as shocking, I was mostly shocked, because I just didn't think, it's like you have that sainted view of Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Right.
So I just didn't think they would go there.
Right.
But honestly, from a story point, I still think it would have been way more interesting to see Bruce as the one thing he, you know, hates more than anything else. Like, if they had had Bruce Wayne twisted into the Joker.
Just seeing along the plot point, as you're reading the book, though, because all of a sudden you hit about the last 8 pages, and it just, not having read it, it just floored it. Because all of a sudden you have Commissioner Gordon, all of a sudden you realize where he is when Batman's trying to get a hold of him. You realize where he is. All of a sudden you have the thing where you realize that the one kid is in, I don't want to give everything away, but the one kid is in danger, and you're like, oh no. Then you see what happens with Gordon, and you're like, oh man, that's going to mess him up. All of a sudden, well, no, it doesn't, because he's gone already. And it was just boom, boom, boom. And then you turn the page as Batman's confronting it, and it says, Martha. You were already discombobulated at that point. That hits you, and it was just, what? And also, it was, Martha, what did you do now? Not just, oh my gosh, it's Martha's the Joker. It's Martha's the Joker. He's known she's the Joker. And he knows what she's doing.
One person.
Can't kill her, which just like Batman can't kill the Joker.
Yeah, and probably can't even have her arrested, thrown her in jail. You know, it's his wife, and probably he feels the blame for Bruce dying and for her creation. So it was just, there was a lot going on, especially right at the end. It just, where you just hit that page, and it was just, I remember I read it in the store, and I was just like, gah! Almost as bad as what, Walking Dead 81 or 82, where you hit that page and you just go,
You gotta smoke the bitch, man. You just gotta take her out. She's killing people, man. But it's his wife, man.
Yeah.
I can honestly say I have not gone into a comic like that in a long time.
Yeah.
Where I'm that in depth with it. And
it was really good.
It was.
See, you missed it.
I flipped through it real quick. And
right,
like, okay,
but you can't. This one you can't.
No, I don't mean flash.
Yeah, no, I'm saying in general.
I don't sit there and devour every last word or anything. It's
another
story.
I did not pick up on the fact that you said, "What did you do now?"
Oh, see, that was.
I didn't pick up on that until you just said it. I didn't realize. I didn't put the two and two together.
What have you done now? Forget
right.
But he's known for a while.
Right.
And like you were saying too, you know, he can't, obviously he couldn't bring himself to throw her in jail or to kill her like he's done with his other villains. But isn't it in this timeline that he owns the police force for Gotham too?
Yeah.
So it's almost like maybe that's the reason why he privatized the police force, so no one else could throw her in jail either. He's the boss, you know. He says what to do.
But I mean, my one rule of a comic is: do you want to read the next one?
I do.
Do you want to read the next one? Uh-huh. Yeah, you know. So when,
what would stop them from doing an ongoing Flashpoint?
Well, unless nothing.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe that's going to be 2012. Hey, you guys love this so much, we decided to give you more. World 53, or, you know, I'm sure there's many unnumbered worlds that haven't been associated and that can end up. I mean, granted, it's not an alternate world because it's
an alternate.
It's
the same situation with Age of Apocalypse. Like, it doesn't make any sense that universe still exists. Like, it was wiped away and. Brought back to the 616, but for whatever reason, if it's popular, they'll just say, there's a parallel universe that's exactly like that one, you know, or whatever.
And I've enjoyed that. I thought that, switching back to Marvel, I thought that Uncanny X-Men story, or X-Force storyline's been neat.
Yeah.
But where did it go? It's like, we were getting X-Force issues every other week, and now it's like stalled.
Look at the writer.
Yeah.
That writer's
gone. Well, no. Oh, God. I think we were talking about the previews, and I think there's under the Dark Horse solicits, there's a new issue of, what's the book he's doing? Fear Agent. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. It's been, a year and a half since the last one? I know who used to buy it, and he doesn't shop here.
Yeah.
So, but other Flashpoint books. Let's see, what else came out last week? World of Flashpoint.
That's great. That book's great.
It was, the only thing I didn't like is it was like, we need to incorporate these characters into the book. Oh, okay. Well, I'll have her visit this one, and then she'll visit
no
this
story.
One.
Oh, there's
no
story. No. It's just like a tour of the universe.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, so
yeah.
Nick, you're a nerd among nerds. Who's Tracy 13?
She was
Dr. 13's daughter.
Thank you very much. That's what I tell everybody, and they give me this blank look.
Dr. 13's an old Dr. school DC character. His main power is that he's like the world's largest skeptic.
Yeah, he debunks...
So he's the Mythbusters.
Right.
Exactly.
He's the Kreskin? Is that the guy's name who debunks all the magic?
Yeah. But also, she's got connections to a lot of the DC characters because she's been roaming around.
Right. She used to date Blue Beetle, didn't she?
Yeah. And she's a homo magi, or magi?
Yeah, or urban magi, I was reading.
Yeah, but she's...
Gets power from cities.
Right. But which is a variation of the kind of people that, like, Zatara and Zatanna were, where they have, like... inborn magical powers that they can develop, but they have it naturally.
So she is a character. So that's what makes it neat. And the fact that at the end, with Dad having the powers, that was a big change. But yeah. I just felt like there were, it just felt so connect the dots kind of an issue. That's what I didn't like about that.
It's just a tour. Like there was a book like that in Age of Apocalypse. There was a book like that in House of M. I mean, it's just like a people want to see their favorite characters and what they're up to in this new universe, but you can't do minis. I mean, they're already doing 13 miniseries. Let's condense that and just give you a short, who do we miss miniseries.
Fair enough. Secret 6 or Secret 7, do you have any idea what's going on in that?
Reads like a Morrison nonsense, but it's not.
Okay, good. I'm trying. I want to like it, but
I like it. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, it's not a more...
Changeman is like that, so...
Okay, fair enough. Abin Sur. Didn't see that end coming.
Nope.
Which I guess is good for all the Flashpoint books. Same thing, you haven't gotten them yet, but the Deathstroke one, the end of that had me like that, where I was just like, huh, what? Okay. Which
all
I like.
All these Flashpoint books, the best thing they have going for them, really, is the use of the serialized form of a cliffhanger ending in each one, where your jaw drops a little bit or a lot, and that's what Flash or the Marvel Fear Itself doesn't have. That's like just going through the motions.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
That's what I love about comics.
Yeah,
you want that? Yeah, absolutely.
It's serial. That's what the serial book is versus the padded trade paperback comics where it's just like part of the chapter 1, chapter 2. Like this should feel like beginning, middle, and an end that makes you want to buy the next issue. That's definitive, serialized fiction.
But my only concern with this is how is it going to read in the graphic novel? That's one thing where I people have said, oh, I'll wait and get that in this book, these books. I kind of say,
experience.
Don't wait, because part of the thing is that wait, that month wait for the next issue is part of what makes it so good.
Calling in from New York, we have Joe Quesada. How's it gonna read in the trade?
No, but that, because that's something he's always said. I remember him saying it didn't matter how late the book was because it's gonna read fine in the trade. And it's like, really, that's your publishing plan? It's gonna read great in the trade. But in this one, I think the people that did wait and get the trade are gonna be like, I was okay. But when you can hit that Thomas Wayne page and then turn the page and start right in, you don't have the talking to people in the store the next week going, holy cow.
They're so
it's not the
many,
same experience.
Minis,
it's like a water
and they're
cooler
so different.
Comic.
It's going to be it's gonna be all over the place trying to read it.
That's how I felt about Day Tripper. When people read the trade, they didn't think it was as neat, where I think you needed that month gap between the issues sometimes. That's part of the story reading process.
I typically forget the comics from month to month.
Oh, sure. Hey, so do I. Trust me.
Well, Day Tripper was to your advantage, right?
It was, because, Day Tripper definitely was to your advantage.
That just tells you how strong these are, because those are just kind of cliffhangers. Like,
right?
You just can't forget it.
I like certain things in trade better than I do.
Oh, absolutely. Quality, absolutely.
Especially Vertigo books.
Yeah, I agree. Ex Machina and all those books read so much better in trade.
I actually, since I started getting more trades, I have trouble picking up monthly comics.
I'm the same way.
I can relate.
Sometimes I'll pick up, right now I'm picking up the main fear itself and the main flashpoint, but I'm just holding off till the trade on everything else. And part of that is I felt like in recent years, you know, especially with, Final Crisis, that I was burned picking up, all of the individual tie-ins. And if I could see in the future, you know, 2 months ago, I would have been picking up all of the Flashpoint minis, but I was just like, yeah, I had enough of it. I'll pick it up and trade if it's good. So it's good enough that I'm going to pick it up and trade. But
the other problem with Final Crisis, it was Grant Morrison. You really did have to. I mean, I've reread it when I had all 7 issues in my hand, because month to month with Morrison, you're just along for the ride because it doesn't make sense unless you...
It packs a lot of nonsense that pays off if you read it a bunch of times or if you just do peyote. Either one's fine.
He kind of wrote it like he skipped every other issue.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of people saying that he wanted that to be like a 12-issue series and condensed into 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely needed at least one more issue.
I remember reading in an interview he said that he wanted to do it like... channel-changing comics, almost. He said that people had this idea of they were so bored while reading a single issue during the month that, you know, their attention span was so short that they needed something really big every couple of pages to keep them interested. So he wanted to write like that. He wanted to have something just really big and, you know, don't explain it and just roll with it. And, you know, whether it worked or not is up to everybody else. I think his main fault with that was Superman Beyond 3D was really important to the story, and it ended up coming out of this 2-issue miniseries that everyone thought, oh, I don't need to read that because it's a miniseries, and it's actually really important.
Yeah. On a side note on that, I don't know how much I had an impact on that, but I remember when they announced the trade, it was issues 1 through 7, and I immediately emailed my rep at DC and said, you have to have those Superman issues in that, or it'll make no sense whatsoever. Right. And all of a sudden, then we got a note saying, hey, we've changed this, and we're also adding these issues in. So I felt really good when I read that. I'm like, yes! They listened to me. But I'm sure some other people said that, and somebody went, oh, geez, you're right, we do need those. But it was nice. You know, it was a really power feeling. They did not credit me with that, but I know it.
They didn't raise the price either.
No, which was cool. Yeah. That's DC. Yeah. As I'm looking, just price-wise, I'm enjoying how of the 52 new ones, 48 are going to be $2.99.
Yeah.
And the 4 that aren't are going to be oversized. But then looking at something like X-Schism that came out today at $4.99. Yeah. And I counted the pages, and I think there were only 32 or 33 story pages. So as much as they kind of rag on DC about it was doing $2.99 but cutting back from 22 to 20 pages, Marvel's kind of playing fast and loose with their pricing and stuff. I can understand $3.99. $4.99. Oh, I know. You didn't pick it up because of that.
And Adam were both in the store. I picked it up. I was fully intending on getting it. I looked and I go, $4.99 for this?
No, I agree.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to get that for $4.99.
And the sad part of it is I really wanted to get it and then start into the new Uncanny when it starts back up and try to get back into more of the X-Books. Right. And then I saw that and I was like, well, I'm not going to read this. I don't know if I'm going to pick up Uncanny on this.
That said, next week, I'd love to talk about X-Schism because I'm a huge X-Men fan.
Okay. Well, here, let me tell you what it's all about. No. That's a hard thing where I...
That was in USA Today, so...
Wait, what was?
Kid Omega, there was a thing in USA Today that, you know, teased the beginning of it.
Yeah, I read the preview on one of the news sites, had the preview that included it.
Yeah, they showed.
I'm a big Morrison.
I don't know who he is. Oh, he's another Morrison guy? Yeah.
The rioted Xavier storyline.
Yeah, he was a little kid at the school, and he had some psychic powers, not Xavier level. He started taking this drug that boosts mutant powers, and he got super smart. And
Kick.
Yes, Kick. He basically decided that mutants should be the master race. He kept wearing T-shirts that said Magneto was right.
Which is a great shirt I can wear again.
Yeah.
They made one?
Oh, yeah.
He basically successfully held the school hostage during a open human visitation day and basically made everyone look semi-ridiculous until they shut him down. But yeah, that's his sort of claim.
He started the Omega Gang, and then he eventually ascended to a purely non-corporeal or corporeal
being. That's right.
Okay, they make reference to that in the book, because I didn't know what that meant, but okay.
And he went to the White Room and became like part of... White Room is where it gets really crazy if you're an X-Men fan. But he has like Phoenix-level powers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a, you know, jerk kid, which makes it really interesting.
Which is funny, because I never... I know, it's blasphemy. I never read the Morrison X-Men.
Ugh.
And what? No, but what I find funny is after that, I kept hearing how people were saying how they've been trying to undo all of his stuff, but now they're bringing this guy back. Phantom X is a huge part of X-Force. It's just interesting that all of his little things seem to be coming back.
Well, it was knee-jerk. Initially, Morrison paid himself into a hole at the end of it. He sort of ended the X-Men franchise as far as he set up. And what they did to follow him up, they wisely chose Chuck Austin to then just say, what you just read last month didn't happen. The guy that, the Magneto that just got his head cut off, well, that was a twin brother of a guy. That it was just nonsense. So I think what happened is they realized that after a few years, it's pretty venerated stuff. Morrison's never going to come back to this book. We might as well play with some of those toys.
Okay. But just, having not read it, I know everybody gave me funny looks there. I was just out of book. I wasn't reading comics then.
I will not give you funny looks ever for not reading a Morrison. Okay. Today.
Well, no, I liked Final Crisis. I don't know what happened in it.
Put some glue and just read some comics.
Yeah, I know. I just remember I finished reading it and I went, well, I don't know what happened, but I enjoyed it. So, and I haven't gone back to it because I don't want to hurt myself.
Go back to it. It's okay.
Okay.
You're at All-Star Superman, so.
Well, yeah, his stuff's good.
Sometimes it's different. Sometimes it's just totally off the wall or not.
Way, way weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's both normally, right? I
mean, the best stuff is both.
Yeah, because I took the Invisibles and I took the Filth with me on vacation, and I just couldn't bring myself to read it.
That's vacation fair, yeah.
Right, yeah, so I read Astonishing X-Men. So,
there you go.
Better choice.
Yeah, but it was one of those, I have time to read, I wanted to read this.
I think Batman and Robin was closer to the normal side of comics, but I think that was a good combination of his weird and normal.
Yeah, that was...
His villains were weird.
Oh, yeah. Professor Pig was great.
Oh, yeah.
But if you haven't read, 1950s Batman, that book was very confusing.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Have a familiarity with it.
Because I haven't read a lot of the stuff
Batman
that he was
drawing.
I'd say his Batman run more so on that one.
Yes.
Yeah, the Black Case book stuff, and everything with the black glove, there's a lot of callbacks. But I feel like if you have a general idea that there was a lot of goofy stuff going on back then that's all you really need to know. Knowing the Batman of... Was an
Zur-En-R.
Yeah, Zur-En-R.
The Bat-Radio.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a payoff if you read two comics that were 50 or 60 years old.
Right.
Without that, as long as you know it happened, that's fine.
I guess Morrison's easier to swallow for me because my general outlook when reading comics is if I don't understand something, I'm going to roll with it and look it up later. And even if I can't find it, I'll just keep going. And I might say, I have no idea what this is, but it's cool and weird, so yeah.
Didn't you want to read more about that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't involve Iron Man or G.I. Joe, you're out. Okay. Or Ms. Marvel, yes. And Iron Man and Ms. Marvel, but okay.
I know where you get a commission with that.
Yeah.
Moving on. Dead air.
Anybody? No, I'm trying to think.
You looked like you were deep in thought.
I was trying to think, what did we want to talk about next? And I was just going to kind of throw it up. Well, you know what? I'm not ready for something like this.
Well, we did talk about the Selena Catwoman photo that was released there.
I didn't see it.
Wait,
I didn't
really? What?
Anne Hathaway.
Catwoman. Oh, cool. No, I didn't see that.
Really nice. Internet, go.
Yeah.
Had you guys seen that they changed the cover on the Wonder Woman, though?
Yeah, they took away her pants.
I saw that, yeah, they took away her pants.
Yeah. She's back in shorts.
Yeah, maybe not, who knows. But yeah, I think they probably got enough feedback on that. One of the things we were going to talk about was talk about some of the stuff in previews just to try to gauge some interest, but I kind of need to prepare a little bit for that just so I can ask specific questions instead of just flipping pages. I was going to get ready to do my previews podcast, just trying to find some time at home at night before 2 a.m.
That's a good time to read previews, though, to be fair.
Well, no, I've already gone through, but then I just like to go through and just kind of discuss, hey, this looks good, or how the heck do I order, like I said before, Fear Agent. I know the one guy who used to buy it I haven't seen in a long time, so where do I go with that?
Maybe that's why you haven't seen it.
Could be. Yeah, I do. I'm just flipping through right now. I'm hitting the DC number ones, and I just want to say the interest in that is through the roof for me.
You're doing that sale, right?
I am, and I think I have 18 people signed up for all number ones right now, which
very cool.
on things like, you know, Batwing and Hawk and Dove and Mr. Terrific are numbers well above anything I would ever would have ordered.
18 people are going to buy 50 books. That's awesome. That's,
yeah.
That's not like, I mean, do you, have you ever had 18 people come in and pick up 50? You
know? Yeah, no, no.
That's so cool.
But even little things, like I think I right now I have 32 people signed up for Justice League. I only ordered, of the next issue, I only ordered 25. So the fact that we're already...
Though, like, that book is terrible.
Oh, right, but I'm just saying, so already we have, you know, an increase, you know, so I'm probably going to order, you know, 100, because who knows how many walk-ins and things like that, so...
How did you get from 30 to 100?
I already have 32 holds.
Yeah, that's a triple.
Yeah. There's going to be buzz on this book. This is going to be big. But I just, everything is looking good.
I wish
no.
That's in December. There's a 50%.
Is anybody going to get the special issue of Justice League 2?
I'll have a few. Yeah, I know Jeremy wants one.
I thought about it, but then I decided against it.
The combo pack?
Right.
Yeah, the comes with the digital code to download the...
I figure for a buck I want to try it out.
What? For me, it's just like a history thing. You know, like it's a first in history.
Yeah, you can't open it, right?
I'm kind of curious, Colin, not about this previews, because I've noticed the last 2 days the solicits for the number twos are starting to pop up. Yeah. Does that make you more nervous, just the ordering? Like, because, you know, I know I'm getting all 52,
right?
But, you know, how quickly will I have to decide, okay, realistically, I cannot read, you know, budget-wise, all 52 DC titles, every, you know, like your Hawk and Dove, your Batwing...
Yeah. That's not much of a commitment.
if you're really nice and get on Skype, Nick will read them too.
but
no, I mean,
Joe
can read
his Skype
phone
turn the pages.
Oh yeah.
I mean, do you think you'll like? Are you just anticipating you'll do normal drops for number two, or do you think?
No, I mean, what I am will factor in, because I do have people either signing up just for number ones, or they're signing up. You know, I'm going to want this book, so. I'm going to go in and, you know, look at those numbers. How many people just want a number one? I don't want to say I'm going to discount that, but I know that a majority of those aren't going to continue. But my hope is that something like Justice League Dark that somebody might not try, well, they read the first one and it totally hooks them, and they want the next. So that's my problem, is if I order 50 of that copy of that book, how many number twos are
going to see, that's what I'm hoping, because I'm getting all 52. I think I looked and there was like 30... You know, that I'm like, I would probably buy this book regardless, because, you know, I want to read a Hawkman book.
Right.
I want to read a Firestorm book. But I'm hoping to get, like, maybe five or so out of those ones that don't really interest me, but I'm on board for the relaunch. You know, I want DC to do that for me, but I'm just curious, like, from your end.
I think if DC is smart, they'll overprint number two. I would overprint number two kind of heavy if I was them.
I guess that... Depending. I mean, they're not... but yeah. No, I agree. And they are making a bunch of them returnable. Some of the ones like Justice League won't be, which will be a little more troubling trying to figure out how to order that number two. And yeah, I can always under-order and get
book.
More.
Relaunch, reboot, otherwise. I mean, that just put those guys on a Justice League book and put that team together, and you're going to be all
right. Right. And, I mean, so many, like, when we were going through all the, I think we only did 39 of the 52, because that was all the information we have when we did that podcast, but I thought it was neat that every book except one had some interest in it. You know, I think Hawk and Dove was the one, only
like
one.
Hawk and Dove.
Well, you know what, it was funny, who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody today, it was Pat. Pat was in today, and he said, you know, that original Hawk and Dove mini that he did was one of his favorite stories from that time. He said the book was really good.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that there's probably some people that think that way that haven't been back in comics because, you know, there hasn't been, in my opinion, which is good news, there hasn't been books like that in a while. But the one thing that DC's got through this whole line is that there's something for everybody. That's the whole point of this, and I think that's smart.
Well, let's be honest, everybody wants to talk about DC. Like, you would have thought in a normal comics news cycle we'd already be on to something else, but I don't know if it's that... I honestly don't know if it's that the DC relaunch is truly that big, or if Marvel has just totally dropped the ball.
Well,
I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for Marvel.
There's announcements right now.
Yeah, that's the thing.
San Diego next week.
I don't know, if I was somebody sitting at Marvel offices, I would have been
on Tuesday, like, meeting with all the editors saying, this is what they're doing in September, do something
to
stop it.
In all honesty, I think Marvel's playing the more consistent card. If we don't have to reboot our books every 10 years.
Didn't we just get a new Captain America this week?
It's the same.
We get a new Daredevil next week?
But most of this business is sensationalism.
But it's not rebooting the character. I mean, Cap's still... It's still the same. Everything that happened in the last volume of Cap is still happening in this one.
Well, no, it's not, because it's Steve Rogers in the costume, where the last one was
Bucky. But still died.
Right.
Cap became Cap. Yeah. I mean, that history's still there, whereas the DC books, we don't know what we're going to get.
But it's like, but it's like you expect some crazy announcement like, hey, we're bringing Stan Lee back to be creative.
Right.
You know, like something
absolutely.
Truly absolutely. Insane. I've been waiting.
But the thing is, like, I'm glad they didn't do that. Because everything that's still the slow burn with DC... it wouldn't have as much impact. I think they're really waiting for this thing to die down so they can just own a cycle. But this thing has had... DC, their marketing has been really smart because they spaced everything out so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were all just talking about it a couple, like a month ago. Is this too early?
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, no, I think they played that right because they wanted to get it out before the previews hit.
Yeah.
Bleeding Cool obviously had some of the info, so they did that. But I think it definitely... by releasing a little bit every day, I was going to CBR, multiple times a day to see, where are the issues, where are the new releases, and they're kind of doing that now with the number twos as well. So,
what's been Bleeding Cool is they image mine the whole site for information.
Yeah. My concern though is what's Marvel's response going to be, because they're going to do something, and what are they going to do? It's crazy. Like I think I said online, they're going to come out an entire month of letter comics, or Shape of Fruit comics. They've already done Minus One. We've already done Zero. They're gonna do something.
I'm glad Marvel didn't jump into something right away. They didn't have a knee jerk reaction to this. It seems like they're sort of waiting a little bit and saying, okay, let's see how this actually goes for DC.
But they're Marvel, so that half doesn't. Yeah. It's like it makes me a little nervous because it's so out of character for the company.
Because the thing is, everything that's in this previews and even the next previews had to be in long ago, so they couldn't react quickly. So we're starting to see stuff for December, which I think is the earliest that they were able to thing. So that's why we're starting to get these.
They had a quick reaction. That they had to throw it together really quick, and therefore it would take a lot out of it. Like whatever they do as a response, they're going to have to really build something legitimate. They can't just do Identity Crisis was happening, and they made like an Identity Disc miniseries.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't pull something like that out of that. It's going to have to be equally as real.
Best thing for Marvel to do is stand pat and stand on the consistency of the books and rebuild the characters and not reboot. I mean.
I agree.
But it is, but then you look, they're rebooting the whole Ultimate line. They just, like I said, we just got a new Cap, we just got a new Thor, we're getting a new Daredevil.
But it's a relaunch.
It's not a DC's not rebooting, they're just relaunching.
They're selectively changing history.
They're changing things like Arsenal didn't get his arm cut off. Who's going to complain about that?
I think they're going to change more than just that.
I don't know. I do too.
It's like when you reboot a computer, right? It's a soft reboot. You don't power it completely off. So you keep some stuff, but when you turn them off, you're not doing that.
I think that thread that you had on your page, started going really well, pretty long, Colin. But that the whole point of this reboot, I think that some of the fear comes from the fact that it's not that it is a soft reboot, and that you think that soft reboot sounds less scary, but in fact. A partial reboot means you don't know. For me, I don't know when two characters have they ever met before. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. Maybe they interacted. Maybe half the interactions count. Maybe half of them don't. And therefore, when I see these characters in books, the emotional impact of what potentially could happen is either really important or not important or whatever.
Right. Now we're getting something next week from DC about this, so hopefully it'll address some of that. I don't know what it is until we get it.
And I have to say one of the reasons traditionally I've liked Marvel more than DC is that they don't ever really change the characters drastically, right? There's only been one or two Caps. I mean, there's been little offshoots temporarily, but it's not like there was Barry Allen and Wally West.
They don't
West
have the legacy characters.
There's no legacy crap, and they don't... It's easier to get into the history of Marvel than it is to get into the history of DC.
Well, they're also 30 years less history. Yeah. So
even if you look at the history from 1985 till right now, Marvel history is so much easier because you don't have
X-Men because I don't understand the Morrison and how convoluted that was.
But what stories hold up longer?
Just go from Crisis on Infinite Earths until now, and look at how many different times DC's gone back and said, oh, wait, we screwed something up, now we got to have another crisis to
Marvel
fix it.
Marvel is just as complicated. If I were to ask the group here Professor X, how he broke his back, I'd get three different answers because it's happened three different times.
Helicopter accident in Vietnam.
Wrong.
Still rod through his back.
Lucifer? Okay, no.
That's the answer. I mean, that's the original one.
But then there was something with Kane Marco where a rock fell on him.
Fell on him.
That wasn't that when they were.
Well, they're
fighting.
Big event.
Back when he was in Vietnam.
It's amazing how many times his back has been injured.
Wait, he was in Korea, right?
Poor guy.
Yeah, it was Korea originally, and then I think a later one moved it to Vietnam to make it more contemporary.
And now I'm sure it's the Gulf War.
What one was it where Magneto threw the.
That's Ultimate.
Okay.
Yeah, threw a big metal spike through his back, which I prefer that
Yeah,
one.
I loved that. That was a good tie in to how they.
I think it's more complicated than everything counts.
They're both complicated. Yeah. They've been going, you know.
But and just little things like I love in this previews where it has, you know, the Marvel, my favorite, you know, saying still issue whatever, which is hilarious because they do that on Uncanny X-Men, which has two issues left to go.
See, I've been finding that funny in the letter columns in DC books funny because the letter columns still haven't caught up to the fact that this is going to change.
Okay,
they're hilarious.
I think the letter columns in DC, at first, I was really excited for them, and now they just seem so useless. They're not like the letter columns of old, you know, back in the 90s when I was a kid, I'd pick up a comic book and the editors would be having actual conversations about the books with the writers, and now it's just like, hey, thanks for writing about Batman. If you like Batman, you should read Detective Comics. What?
Oh, we know you got in, okay?
This is my sixth one, but I mean, I just wanted to get in before, you know, Uncanny got renumbered.
Right.
I just feel like they're wasting the letter column by making it so schlocky and advertising to, if you're reading Batman, you should buy Detective.
If you read them, they say, well, in four more issues of Birds of Prey, we're going to be, make this character a little bit more. I'm like, wait, this isn't happening.
Right, exactly. Right.
And that's the point I'm getting at.
Plans changed.
No one told them.
That was my point of why I didn't think this whole DC relaunch was thought through as much as some people think it was.
I think it was, but I think they left so many people in the dark so that they could have the shock value
they
of dropping.
Right?
Yeah.
The more people you tell something about this, too.
Yeah.
The more.
I mean, it was probably planned a long time ago very carefully, but the circle of people that knew was very small until the last possible moment.
I don't think the writers were told.
No. Writers, editors, editors.
Which leads me to believe that your thoughts on, you know, the writers coming through with their pitches and, well, this is the best pitch, so that's what we're going with.
Well,
don't think that actually happened at all.
What?
That
they made pitches?
I think in some cases it did, but it was disjointed.
All the ones I've heard...
I don't think there was time for that.
All the ones I've heard where people said they pitched something and didn't get it or it got turned down or whatever were miniseries. That would have been...
Well, no, like Brian Wood thought he was getting Supergirl because he made a pitch for it that wasn't taken.
Well, it was taken and it was taken away.
I think they didn't know the greater, you know, story of this. I think they just thought they were pitching a book.
Just
pitching a book.
Yep.
Because like I said before, what I thought, you know, you no way you're going to get a Mr. Terrific story. You know, no one said, well, we're going to cancel Justice Society, but we want a Mr. Terrific story. I think they went and said, hey, pitch me three stories you want to do. One of them just happened to be Mr. Terrific.
I think if you had the outline of Flashpoint and you knew Mr. Terrific's role in Flashpoint, especially in the Outsider book.
He died.
Did he?
Yeah, cut
almost uneventfully.
Yeah,
it must have been very uneventful.
I don't think that played into it.
Took out the whole bunch.
No, so, but again, with this stuff, I just kind of say, hey, let's wait and see what's going to happen. I understand the fear, not knowing what's going on, but...
Yeah, my fear is only that it's going to be really hard to explain the nuances of a soft reboot. You know, I mean, a hard reboot, it's everything's new. Fair enough. Like, you know, erase the chalkboard. But if some of it counts and some of it doesn't count, then the next time we see Roy Harper and Dick Grayson, did they ever fight each other like they just recently did? Is their relationship strained? Is it good? I don't know. So if they just write a story and they don't address that, then it's going to be hard to figure out the context and the subtext.
Okay.
You only have to worry about that till the next crisis.
If it did happen,
exactly.
Then it's really hard to explain that he didn't have his arm and why he did it. It's going to be tough.
I think it's all going to be context. I think it's all... if they really need to get to it, they'll get to it. I mean, look at some of the books that they're doing. Action Comics and Justice League are flashback stories. Take place 5 years in the past.
That's good.
So, like, those really important things, the formation of the Justice League and how Superman came to be, you know, they acknowledge that that needs to be addressed first if it, so much is going to be changed. I'm interested to see where they go with those books afterwards. I want to see what the Justice League lineup is going to be after this five-year jump, because according to some spoilers today, there's some big Green Lantern stuff going on. So who's Green Lantern going to be in the Justice League in the present? Is Green Lantern going to be in the Justice League in the present? So I think, especially now that they're saying, you know, Batgirl's going to walk again, Barbara Gordon's going to walk again.
Well, we've had our debate.
Like,
how do
but
they work that?
If she is going to walk again, you know, they could just say, maybe it's that throwaway line that we've been talking about the past couple of podcasts of, like that time I got shot, asterisk, little box, as seen in The Killing Joke. You know, and then you can go back and get The Killing Joke graphic novel, and maybe that's how they'll cultivate the backstory.
If I was DC, I'd release something somewhere that said, here's the key continuity.
Well, we're getting it next week. Yes. That's what I'm saying. We're getting
it.
No, I'm getting 250 copies of it.
Really? See, I was... Go ahead, Nick.
So, yeah, if we get, like, a history of the DC Universe that they've done post-Zero Hour when they made a couple changes, post-Hyper Time when they made a couple changes, post-Infinite Crisis when they made a couple changes, all those things had a little mini-series or something like that. If we get something like that, as long as it's fairly inclusive, it's good, but I just, like, I can't comprehend how characters like Kyle Rayner or Connor Hawk, who are so mirrored in niche continuity, can exist in any way, shape, or form like they used to. In a universe that's restarted with the Justice League the way that it looks like it's going to be. I mean, that said, I'm not yelling or angry. I think it's going to be difficult.
Right. Well, yeah, I can see that. But like you mentioned with the Who's Who or the history of the DC Universe, that actually kind of occurred to me that this would be a great time for them to do that.
Yeah.
Or even just, you know, in the next year after the first 12 issues come out, why not do... they just did this whole... It wasn't a history... Dan DiDio kept saying they were going to do a new Who's Who, and that never really came out. Instead, we got DC Universe Legacies, which was okay. It wasn't really...
I thought that was a great book.
Yeah.
I love continuity.
I thought it was a very interesting idea, but I don't think it was what everybody wanted, and it definitely wasn't the exact Who's Who. You know, it wasn't a dictionary of characters. So, I don't see why they wouldn't...
would be pretty cool, especially if they made a digital one.
Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't do a Who's Who or a new history of the DC Universe where they could say, even if it was just a giant timeline map, I would be fine with that. You know, like, minus 10 years, Bruce Wayne becomes Batman. Minus 5 years, Barbara Gordon is shot by the Joker, or whatever. Whatever they do.
I don't even need a timeline. I just want bullet points of what has happened.
Right.
I want a map and timelines, and I want all that fun stuff.
Well, yeah, you want, like, a Gantt chart. And
not worried at all. I have no problem.
Flow chart, Venn diagrams, and graphs.
PowerPoint.
Yep. Well, Nick, after the books come out in a year, you should start offering training courses.
See, I always thought I could do that, too, with DC Universe, because I think I got, you know, DC Universe down, and there certainly needs to be a class in it. I think more people, if they went to 4 years of school for it, could really appreciate the subtle nuances.
Well, I mean,
Earth X and Earth S.
Do you have a big enough conference room at Stately Wayne Manor there in Cleveland?
We're in a conference center, so it's feasible.
Nick, I think you and I should go back to school for our BA in multiverse studies.
Ooh, but then we're going to get multiversity from Morris, and maybe that'll explain everything.
I'll undo everything.
I hope.
Professor Morrison.
10 years. Yes. Teach me your ways. That's the one.
We could do mescaline together.
I thought he liked ketamine, or is that
he does
else?
Ketamine? Yeah, that's primarily what he does. I have a couple. He did like this lecture for this DVD, and he was talking to people. It wasn't even a comic book thing. He was just talking about what he does in comics and how everything he does in comics. He doesn't tell people this, but he does like sedulization where there's hidden code messages because he's trying to. Work with the operating. He's trying to regraph the operating system of the universe on top of his comics to create magic.
Basically, his idea was that he was going to bring the DC universe to life through sigil magic.
Yeah.
And apparently, the big moment of that was in Seven Soldiers when Zatanna said, "Universe awaken, Seven Soldiers strike." And since then, that's the hyper crisis that's been.
Well, he believes that he's been abducted by aliens and all this other stuff. And he told people this, and then in the middle of the speech, he goes, "Whoa, just coming up on drugs right now." In the middle of talking to people.
I think he started it that way, too. I think he said, "I just took some, so watch for that."
Oh, yeah, yeah. He took the vodka. Yeah, you've seen that one. It's great. I have it on DVD.
It's a decent speech. Sidetrack.
But I think that explains a lot about his stories.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to do a special previews podcast?
Me? Yeah, I'll do one some night coming up. But it was just funny. I was just kind of flipping through the Marvel one because, you know, everybody knows I hate Marvel. But
frat boy book.
It was just kind of making me laugh as I'm looking at, just as we were talking about all these still numbers. And, like, here we go. Avengers 17, still 17. It's like, okay, yeah.
That's something I'm proud of. That's
Gems of previews for statue collectors is the Batman Black and White Mike Mignola variant.
Uh-huh.
I collected the Batman Black and White. It's the only one I don't have.
Well, there you go.
And it's awesome. I mean, it's super cool. And it goes for about $350 on eBay. You can get it, the variant, which is just they change the oval on his chest and they invert the colors on the mace. It's really, really cool. And again, if you want it normally, it's $300, or you can get it for whatever,
But yeah, also as I'm looking at these, the things that made me laugh is New Avengers, still 16. Well, yeah, volume 2, 16, because we relaunched it a year ago.
The uncanny
one. Yeah, well, yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah, but Invincible Iron Man, still 508. No, with a couple jumps.
There's a lot of, like, double issues for a lot of Marvel books. Did you realize that? Like, there's Ultimate Spider-Man 1 and 2. And,
yeah.
They've been doing that.
And
also,
both polybag, or number one's polybag.
That's their response to having fewer miniseries.
Marvel tends to do that every summer.
Yeah.
Wolverine 15 and 16, X-Factor 2, 24, 0.1, 225, X-Men 17.
We're still doing 0.1s? That's so last year. But yeah, the favorite, Uncanny X-Men, still 543, even though 544 will be the last issue and we'll get a number one.
Isn't the cover of that Ultimate X-Men horrible?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait to read the book, but that cover's just...
I think it looks cool.
What do you think about Wolverine, Ultimate Wolverine costume?
I thought he was dead, so I'm all confused.
No, that's his kid. That's his kid.
It was an Ultimate X.
Oh, Ultimate X, did that finish yet?
Yeah, last week, yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that. I remember I was in Vegas when they announced that, and that was 3 years ago. Okay.
I don't know anything about that particular Wolverine character, so that's one of the reasons why I'm more excited to jump into Ultimate Marvel.
There's nothing really about that.
I don't think it's really.
Well, too bad you can't flip through this one to see if you like it. why are you polybagging a number one? There's not even a card.
Well,
you're polybagging.
It's a clear polybag, too.
But when they kind of missed the point. When they polybag stuff before, it's because there was something extra in there. Now they're just polybagging
you,
to polybag.
The difference now between polybags then and now is that then they were functional, and now they just are a status thing.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. So everybody has to buy two.
But there could be the signed
well
copy,
sold.
So you got to buy 100.
This is chromium. That's
ooh.
How's that mining going?
Yeah, how is your chromium
good.
Mining?
Good?
Good,
good. Good.
It's going great. You see the Castle premium hardcover by Bendis?
I did.
Yes.
It's interesting.
I'll be ordering one of those.
Me too.
But then it was funny. A guy from another store told me I need to listen to the Marvel podcast to understand what was going on in some of their books. And I did, and it was very funny. So I listened to the Spider Island podcast. That was a whole bunch of fun. Dan Slott talking about how because he wrote it because he's afraid of bed bugs. And the whole premise is that the Jackal modifies bed bugs, so when people get bitten, they get spider powers. And that's the whole storyline.
Well, apparently Spider-Girl
not a good
got
premise.
Bit.
Not a good premise. What?
Spider-Girl only got bit. She
we're
had,
great.
She had spider powers in the last issue.
Oh, cool.
I'm really
yeah.
glad I don't care about Spider-Man anymore, because I'm pretty sure I'd have
a
heart attack. I don't know.
It was.
It was.
I tried.
It's gone off the rails.
When they started the whole big time thing, it was good for
big time.
Right big time was very
right
good.
Six issues or so
until we joined the FF.
Yeah,
that was
the FF.
Well,
FF
that dropped it. The ones that killed it were the tie-ins with the cover saying who needs to use the superhero potty.
Yes.
My sales have dropped in half since that issue.
This is the writer of Ren and Stimpy. Keep in mind.
Fair enough, but he's an architect.
Right. Arbitrary.
Well, sure.
Is that a big guy?
I'm loving the.
Is he an architect?
He's an slot. Slot's an architect.
I'd rather be a big gun than an architect.
True. Or Young Gun, even.
Or Young Gun, that's what it
is.
Young Guns.
No, it's Big Gun.
Like no, they used to have the Young Guns.
Young Guns
was yeah, the Young Guns, people who've been in the business for 15 years were Young Guns. I enjoyed that.
Everybody else
is Slot actually one of the Marvel Orchids fans?
Yeah.
I didn't think he was.
I don't think he was either.
No, we could do
it. Can I just say, Colin, when you first said that, I thought you guys meant he was an actual architect. I was like, wow, Slot's an architect.
Jeremy and I were both sitting here thinking, like, wow, that guy's accomplished. He's done stuff with his life.
Ren and Stimpy architect.
Sorry, I'm grabbing a random Marvel comic for that ad in the middle. Did you use last week's?
You really want to know who an architect is and isn't?
No, I just want to see that picture of Bendis looking like Uncle Fester.
That's like the only picture he takes. Like, I think it's the same, because every picture I've seen of him has
the
same
one with the eyebrow raised
expression.
He does get a lot. Somewhat molestery.
Yes, somewhat. Darn it, I know I read it.
Like, hide your children, here comes...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Only his title,
Brian Bendis.
No, actually, I wonder if it's because of him or if it's because of Humberto Ramos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Because Ramos is definitely an artist architect.
He's a new architect.
He is. Oh.
What does that mean in the Marvel Universe?
An architect?
Yeah, does that mean
it
they
means
just...
you're special. That's right. Well, you get first pull off the keg.
You have
okay.
right.
All
right. You have more pool than the other people in Marvel.
It means you get to go to the creative summits, is what it probably means.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, that makes sense. I guess.
What does it mean, or was it supposed to be?
I think
well,
was,
right.
I get one other comment to see if anybody had a big shock out of it.
Because I think it's like Fraction, Bendis, Hickman.
Yeah.
I know Diodato is one from an artist. Brubaker. Humberto Ramos.
Why don't they just be honest about it and say these guys sell more books than everybody else? Right, not professionally, I understand. I'm being snarky.
No, what they're really saying there is these are the guys who at some point have accomplished something and now their writing really sucks.
Well, how do you really feel, Sean?
Sean's Captain Sinecure.
Is anybody reading Avengers Children's Crusade?
Yes.
Yes.
Wasn't the ending like one of the biggest like whoa endings for X-Men readers?
So
yes, I love the end of that book.
I'm waiting for it to finish before I read it.
That's going
to
be a trade.
Got another year to go.
There's a lot of stuff in that book.
I did see something where Hawkeye had
not fun.
Hawkeye had
Hawkeye moment.
Yeah, Hawkeye had sex with a Doombot, so that was
that was good.
You'll have that.
So did Beast.
That's
right?
The new one.
I can't remember.
Beast? They both said that they both found him independently, and Beast was, and then Hawkeye was like alluded to the fact that he had sex with her, and Beast was like, you had sex with her?
Yeah, because Beast was like, we had coffee, and Hawkeye's like, we had more. So
We had tea.
Yeah, I like that book, other than the bi-monthly shipping.
Yeah, I mean the art's great. It's jam packed with cool stuff. There's a lot of big Marvel moments. I mean, there's like cleaning up of House of M. There's cleaning up of just a lot of young Avengers. The miniseries. There's just a ton in this book, but. If you're an X Factor fan, which I think there's a couple that are in the room,
I am. Sean,
this is like one of the biggest X Factor moments, and it happens in a book that couldn't be further from that book.
It's true. I mean, can we spoil what happened at the end?
It's been a couple weeks.
Spoil it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Scarlet Witch gets the comes back, and she now that she knows what she did, she has the ability to give back mutants back their powers. Mm-hmm. And the first one she did was Richter.
Okay.
Yeah, at the end of it, she says, basically what she did in three words.
Oh, yeah, I saw something about that,
words.
Time out. Doesn't that make Hope completely useless?
Yay!
Who's useless?
Hope. That's her power. That's what she does.
She activates new mutants.
Scarlet Witch can stabilizes their powers.
Right, but Scarlet Witch can go back
upcoming
and give them their powers back.
She doesn't make old mutants new mutants again or whatever.
Which is going to be the basis for Regenesis.
I mean, who knows if it actually works out?
That's the next X-Men event after Schism is Regenesis, where the mutant gene is going to be brought back into the world.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of already has, only because I'm just thinking. There we go. The whole 198 thing, and then just in Secret Avengers, all of a sudden we had a new mutant nobody knew about. So. I think that's all gone. Okay, here we go. Who are the architects? Oh, you're right. It's not. It's Brubaker, Aaron, Bendis, Hickman, and Fraction. Those are the architects. I'm sorry.
I'm going to start.
I thought Slott was an honorary.
Slott's right.
He's not a great
enough to not count.
I think he's.
Well, he looks like Mike Myers from.
Oh, Dr. Evil. Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Which group are the. They call the Roofers.
The Roofers?
The Roofers?
That's DC.
Yeah.
That's like the colorist, Nick. That's who gets all the girls ready for the architects.
The tracers.
Oh, there we go.
That would be the anchors.
Oh, my left arm would be a tracer.
Oh, Kevin Smith.
Yes. He's back and better than ever, right? For Dynamite?
He's great. I just saw him live a couple months ago. He's got one movie coming out, another one after that, and he's done with movies.
What's he going to move on to?
Comics.
Podcasting.
I hear it pays well.
Six a week.
We could do six a week.
Didn't that J-Lo movie make him end his movie career? I mean,
no, he didn't.
No, he came back with Zach and Mary. And that was
great.
Let's
not forget Cop Out.
That's it.
Is that his?
He wrote it.
He directed it.
That's what
he directed. It was a studio movie.
It was horrible.
He said that's one of the major reasons he's getting out of movies, because... he wanted to make that movie for two reasons: to learn marketing tricks to make his own movies work better, and to meet and work, or not meet, but to work with Bruce Willis. After meeting and working with Bruce Willis, he hated him so much that he thinks he's done with movies.
But I thought the third reason was to kill Stifler.
Well, yeah, Stifler's got to die.
So does that mean that, like, his comic books will now only be 2 months late instead of three?
No, I think, good point. I think that he will be writing more comics.
Yeah, that's not
writing
for him.
Movie.
Because he's writing that new Bionic Man book for IDW, or Dynamite.
After issue three, there'll be a four-year gap.
But there's
Daredevil, the Target.
But there's going to be a crossover with the Terminator.
He's going to get back to that Daredevil, the Target.
No, that's gone. Just give it up, man.
He's dead.
He's dead, yeah. It's dead to him.
I saw that Moon Knight cover, that Maleev did, and I was like, oh, man, he's already back. But then the Moon Knight did a nice tweak with that. That book's good.
Moon Knight? I haven't read it.
I agree. Yeah.
It's fun.
Last week's wasn't. Was it last week there was a new one?
Yeah, it's a Moon Knight. Bullseye cover.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, but it was kind of down from the last two. But we'll see.
I'm hoping him and Dakin, or Dakin, have a good.
Dookie. That's what we're going to call him.
Wolverine Jr. has a good rivalry, though, because they're setting him up to be the kingpin of L.A. and Moon Knight to be the new hero of L.A.
You know what this Moon Knight's going to bring back? Just thought about it. West Coast Avengers, baby.
Well, Wonder Man, they're setting him up to be.
They're already setting up the Mighty Avengers. Now we need West Coast too.
Absolutely.
We'll
Great Lakes.
Great Lake.
Great Lakes.
Well, the Squirrel Girl. Looking forward to the Squirrel Girl one shot next week.
Hey,
or next month.
Is Diodato drawing that?
He's drawing it. At least he drew the cover.
And we need 2D Man.
I haven't seen Flat Man in a book in a while.
2D Man. What is that? 3D
Flat
Man.
Yeah. Flat Man.
Or Doorman.
What, a arm fall off boy? Oh, I'm sorry, wrong company.
Dinosaur.
I'm looking.
Isn't that reptile or reptile or reptile?
Yeah, close. But dinosaur or whatever was the name of the dinosaur Great Lakes Avenger.
Dinosaur? What? Dinosaur?
Wasn't there like a pterodactyl Great Lakes Avenger?
I honestly don't know. I'm sorry.
Big Bertha, the Flat Man, Doorman, Mr. Immortal. And,
Nick, you read too much, man.
I don't remember a dinosaur.
Nick, how do you remember all of this? Do you have, like, an idyllic memory?
Oh, no, what was that heavyset woman?
Big Bertha,
yeah.
The model. She was a model, but she had the ability to turn real fast.
I went politically correct. I said,
yeah.
Heavyset woman.
Heavyset. Fatty, fat, fat.
Because when I think of you, I think politically correct.
Politically correct.
that's the first thing that comes to mind.
But, no, I remember this stuff with comics because I forget how to do basic human functions a lot of times. I'll just forget.
Nothing wrong with that.
Take care of myself. It's a good trait.
Is that why you got married, Nick?
Right, exactly.
Do you know you're on a podcast right now?
Wife/caretaker.
Right. Just wheel me into my room and put comments in front of me.
How do I do that, man?
You gotta
tell me your secret.
I need to get one of those. Okay.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, looks like we're getting near the end of time here. One other thing I wanted to talk about, I was hoping Sean would be on tonight, only because this might be way too old for you guys. But one of the big news stories, or not big, but a news story that broke out of San Diego was just from the scheduling that they announced there's going to be a new First Comics panel. And that made me really excited.
You like Grimjack?
I love Grimjack.
Grimjack's a good book.
When I started going to the comic stores was early 80s, and getting my books, and all of a sudden one day there was this book called John Sable Freelance. Don't know what it is. I think it was a buck. You know, that's back when books were 60 cents, so, you know, a dollar was a little bit more, but okay, it looks interesting. Well, that, I don't want to say a book changed my life, but it changed the way I looked at stuff. It was not a Marvel. It was not a DC book. It fostered a love of Mike Grell art that I still have. I have a lot of his original pages. I have an original John Sable page on my wall at home. Then throw in there, you pick up a Grimjack that was just mind-blowing. You picked up Nexus. Badger started at Capital and then switched over to First. You know, I got on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle train at, I think, issue 3, and I had, like, a fourth print of number 1. But that was just such an amazing time. You had Pacific Comics with Pacific Comics Presents with the Rocketeer stories. You had books you guys haven't heard, probably Twisted Tales, which was a creep show type book that was my introduction to Richard Corbin art, which it just awesome stuff. It just made me think all these great, you know, Star Slayer, Warp, all these great books from First, and to see that it's coming back, and I'm like, wow, because that was just such a neat time.
Nexus was my gateway, you know, and I went backwards. But what I got out of it is I became like a bigger Steve Root fan.
Sure, oh, absolutely.
His art's just amazing.
Absolutely. I just wish you could get
like
a book out in time.
Like very few others.
So just seeing that announcement, I'm like, wow, that's all I need out of that San Diego is to get that. And the neat thing is Larry Young of AIT Planet Lair Books is, I guess, he's a director of production, and he's also a friend of Pat's. So I'm like, I sent Pat a note right away. I said, let him know anything, any promo stuff. They have a store that will scream First Comics here because I just love the stuff. So I was hoping
San Franciscan, like the San Franciscan comic guy.
Yeah. So I was real excited to see that. I was hoping for more news this week that we could talk about coming out of San Diego, but that was about it so far. I haven't really looked at the rest of the panel lineups, but hopefully next week we'll have more to talk about that way, because I definitely want to gear this, you know, further away from, you know, what happened in Flashpoint to some more news-based stuff. You know, hey, did you see this announcement? Because we should have some really exciting stuff coming up the next couple of weeks just from announcements. Hopefully they're better than Miracle Man and CrossGen. Woo-hoo. But that was just something that I enjoyed. Have any of you guys ever read any First Comic stuff?
I've heard of Nexus and Grimjack,
okay.
But I've never read any of it.
Okay.
Read some John Sable.
And was it American Flag? Was that the
Yes, American Flag.
Of?
That was one of those, what? You know, you're reading each issue. Again, that introduced me to Howard Chaykin art that a lot of people don't
right.
like that I really enjoy.
Yeah. Well, when I saw the story on CBR, I went to Wikipedia and all this stuff that I'd heard of but never read, and I thought I would read that. So I'm excited that that's coming out now.
Yeah.
I'm excited that
now,
I can
read
something else.
Epic Dreadstar books. Did
sure.
Yeah, it was Dreadstar.
Yep.
He was in
Dreadstar.
That too, right?
Yeah.
Started at Epic and then moved over to First, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are they bringing back for a lot of these books the original creative teams?
We don't know yet. It's all it didn't. It had a lot of like the original, like, I don't want to say office people, but more the corporate people. So we'll see. I bet if they said, "Hey, John Ostrander and Tim Truman, would you like to do a new Grimjack book?" I'm going to say they're probably going to jump at it, unless they're burned out and they told all the stories. But I'm guessing in the last 20-odd years, they've had some more ideas. I'm very excited to see that, the possibility
of
those
books. Is Starlin working on anything now?
Not right now that I know of, no.
He was very bitter when
cool.
I saw him in Pittsburgh Comics.
He was bitter?
He was very bitter about life. Sounded bitter about comics
okay.
in general.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this will turn him around.
Jim Starlin.
You know. He'll say, hey, we want more Dreadstar. So, Starlin's doing Breed right now from Image that I have yet to sell a copy of. That's why he's bitter. Yeah, Breed 3, not exactly the best launching point. I'm just excited about that, personally.
Along those lines, for retro stuff, that Jim Shooter blog link you put up.
Yeah.
Fantastic
I'm
stuff.
I'm enjoying that a lot. I was just talking with somebody about that. He's like, well, you said you were going to say something more. I did do a blog post on it. I'm sure you've all read it. But just talking about the love of history. And wondering how that ties in with other people, if anybody else has found that. Basically, the point of the post was when I started collecting back in the in the 80s, we didn't have Wikipedia. So if you wanted to find out what a story was, you actually had to find the issues and read it. Specifically, one thing I pointed out was there was Project Pegasus was referred to, and I had no idea what it was, and I couldn't find it. And then finally I love the editor, who put a little as seen in Marvel Team Up 48 or whatever it was, or two in Marvel 2 and 1, and so then I was able to go find those issues and read about it.
You know, something like that did that for me when I was a kid was when they were the original few series of the Marvel trading cards, mm-hmm. you know, back in like 1990, 91, mm-hmm. they had a subset in there of like famous battles, and they built it up as these were the biggest, like most important Marvel stories ever. And it was stuff, yeah, and it was stuff like
was
from
awesome.
The 60s, 70s, 80s, and I didn't know a lot of Marvel history at the time, and just seeing those cards, right. you know, just a cheap marketing gimmick, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this about? I need to go find out about this. Like, what are these Atlantis attacks?
I think the impact of those cards was much bigger than people realize. Like, I did the same thing, and all my friends in like grade school, like, we were, like, gabbling. We got those cards, and we were like, the tapestry of the universe, like, unfolded, and we saw this stuff. It's like, well, that would be cool if these guys fought, or these guys to team up. Like, I gotta go find these. And then we had the issue numbers on the back. This is like, you know, 91. This is pretty, yep. you know, big internet. So, you know, we just take the backs of the cards, we'd go to the comic stores, and we would just, like, yep. you know, see if they were there.
I did that same thing.
Cool. So, yeah, and basically the point of my thing was, you know, how much of that historian, that historical aspect of wanting to know what happened before is embedded in just the collecting part of us. Like my story, you know, the thing that really got me collecting was Daredevil 181, the death of Elektra. Well, then I had to go back and find out what happened before that, and eventually went all the way back to 1.
Well, when I come into your shop looking for back issues, that, you know, half the time it's like, you know, I bought the full run of Born Again, you know, because you had it, and I was like, I don't have those comics. Just the historical significance of saying, I have Born Again in the original issues. You
but
know,
I wonder how much the difference is when you can actually go on, you know, Wikipedia and read the whole Born, you know, what happened, so you know what happened now. Or you can get the graphic novel and read it easier that way, you don't need to go back and get the book.
Well, see, for me, what it's done is I may not want, like, the whole run of Daredevil, but I would want the Born Again. You know, it's made me more picky about which back issues I pick up, you know, trying to get mm-hmm. the historical
right.
back issue, you know, like,
well, that's a big part of, like, collecting for me. Like, I collect a lot of first issues and first appearances, but a lot of it's from the historical point of view. Like, you know, I want to get the Spider-Man issues without the code on it.
Yeah.
I want to get, you know, different landmark key issues. And I think that, like, if you're a history fan, like, there's just something about, like, holding, you know, something that was there then that sort of resonates.
For me, it's the completionist aspect of it, you know? Like, I want to have everything.
Sure,
me too.
And
you do, Nick.
The other side of that, though, I like, I like it in assembled in a really nice package, like the oversized hardcover. You know, the like going back and getting the original format is not as important as having the best format, you know?
See, I want the original format, but I want the variants, the second prints, the third prints, every cover. Like, when I get a book, like, I want to get every incarnation of that book.
I just want the story. But with my back issue hunting, it's become, I want the original version of the story. Like, I have, you know, I have Born Again and, like, two different trades, but with Born Again, I wanted the issues. And there's just something extremely cool, personally, for having those issues.
Do you resell the trades? Do you rear the trades?
No. I have the issues to satisfy that collector urge to have the issues, but then I have the trade anytime I want to read the story again.
It's dead end trying to sell anything on eBay anyway. Sell it for pennies.
Colin will always buy stuff.
You buy trades, Colin?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my collecting was always from the completionist side of things, and
see, I started,
and then I got to the point where I just didn't want.
Hey, Colin will take this.
Yeah, I just didn't want all the clutter anymore. And now, immediately after something I get after the run is done, I'm done with it. I don't keep it.
You
don't
even wait for the run to finish.
Yeah,
most of the time
I don't. If they like Uncanny X-Men, for example, I didn't care because the last four issues are Fear Itself tie-ins, Colossus versus Juggernaut. I could care less.
Did
Dude, that's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be awesome.
Becoming Juggernaut.
That's four classic. Issues.
And then it's gonna go back to nothing.
It's a story, man.
And then,
have
then
you ever
gonna...
seen a story where Colossus becomes the Juggernaut?
Not exactly that, but...
That's right, you've never seen it. It's the first time he's becoming the Juggernaut.
But Marvel has done, what if Professor X had been the Juggernaut?
What if this is the actual story. The actual uncanny
X-Men. He's not becoming the Juggernaut.
He is. Can you see the cover? He's got the helmet on.
He's not becoming the Juggernaut.
He's going to make a deal with Sidorak, and it's going to be huge.
I guess on that end,
Joe, you're so excited about this one story.
I guess that's kind of the way I approach my collecting. I just kind of look at it as do
what's
I enjoy
his hybrid
story?
Name, though? Juggalossus?
Juggalossus.
We're going to go the whole IC. We're going to go the whole ICP way.
Better than Colossus.
Colossonaut. I kind of like that.
ICP is Juggalos. Right? Don't they have a big...
We're all getting loopy.
We are. One last thing I wanted to talk about, just because two books came out today that bugged me. And they're Marvel, imagine that. Only because it seemed odd that they'd launch series into an event. And they tend to do this a lot. They did it with Captain Britain. They launched it into Secret Event or Secret Invasion that worked well, but as soon as the crossover ended, the book died. And we just got the first issue of Ghost Rider this week. And it's a Fear Itself tie-in. We also got the second issue of Alpha Flight. That's also a Fear Itself tie-in. But Alpha Flight's only an 8-issue miniseries. Well, 9-issue if you count the point one.
0.1.
But I'm just trying to figure out the rationale between launching, you know, so a miniseries that launches into Fear Itself, yet the last four issues aren't going to be Fear Itself related. How is something like that going to read as the graphic novel when it comes out, saying, hey, here's the new Alpha Flight book? Well, if you didn't read Fear Itself, you're not going to understand it at all.
I don't know. Do you know why it's related to Fear Itself, Alpha Flight?
Because they... No.
Well, it's all about the governmental change in Canada, and based on fear, they're going to have all these acts that are going to be pushed through and become law. So that's going to be all, I think, that they're going to really draw from Fear Itself.
Okay, fair enough.
And they fought the robots in the last issue, right?
Well, and honestly, if you...
Yeah, so that makes sense. It's just the fear gets it going, and after that it doesn't really make any difference.
Well, and plus that book was supposed to be an ongoing.
Right. But they had too much fear to have it as an ongoing.
Well, I think Jim McCann wasn't bringing in enough numbers on an Alpha Flight book, I mean, really.
Okay, but then something like Ghost Rider launching it, you know, another book launching into...
I honestly think that's a case of it's such a crazy jumbled mess from everything I've heard, like the changes they're making. Yeah. I think they slapped Fear Itself on just in the hope of boosting
sales. Okay.
Yeah, Ghost Rider continuity is getting pretty rough.
Well, that's because of the movies coming out. They haven't put a Ghost Rider book out.
See, to me, that's
a Fox zone.
Yeah, but
title.
Why do you need a female Ghost Rider?
To me, something similar to that, not launching into a you know, like Fear Itself or something, but was the first issue of Cap today.
Movie. That's 100% movie.
I know it's 100% movie, but if you didn't read Fear Itself with the stuff with Bucky and Steve Rogers being put back in the suit, the Cap book sucked today because of that.
So Brubaker
He didn't incorporate any of that into it.
Brubaker on Twitter today said that he's going to talk about what happened at the end of the other one. He just isn't allowed because of Fear Itself timing.
Then they should have just waited to relaunch the title.
Maybe. But they won a number one with him? No, it comes up in this weekend?
Next weekend. Harry Potter.
So,
come on.
Where's that
now?
New Harry Potter?
And to be honest with you, it made the Cap book have little to no impact at all.
But I loved it.
See, I didn't like it at all. And I love Cap.
I thought it was great. I thought the new villains, well, the new old villain was good, and I thought the enemy at the end that showed up, the classic enemy at the end, I thought was good.
Yeah, Brubaker's run has been so good. You know, I mean, there's been some hiccups, but for the most part, the consistency of how long he's been on this book, it's been some of the best it's ever been.
It has,
but it seems like it got taken away from him.
Yeah.
Like his way to wrap it up kind of was...
I think editorial got...
Yeah.
Their hand got stronger.
The way things happened at the end of the last Captain America issue to Captain America number one at this point took me completely out of the story.
Yeah, it did. That was kind of a rough transition, but And for the record, he said in an interview that he was okay with it being the Bucky death in Fear Itself.
I still don't think he's dead.
No, he's
not. No, he's going to live on in Captain America. And Bucky.
He's hanging out with Human Torch somewhere.
Yeah, just because they so underplayed it. That's my...
In the Bucky Reborn
it
was
title. It wasn't a black bagged issue.
It was
so.
Such a huge
well,
thing.
Been
in
the Bucky Reborn title. Because there wasn't a miniseries title. Coming out of it, I think that it's
like, oh, the one by Loeb?
Yeah.
That's what they're going to announce next week, Bucky Reborn.
Bucky Reborn, yeah, he's been dead for a week. Okay.
Yeah, what do you guys think that is?
I think it's going to be Ultimate Logan Reborn.
Really? No.
It's five spaces. Logan fit, you know.
Cable,
Sentry.
Oh, Cable Reborn.
Because Loeb did a lot.
Because we've been missing him so much.
Wait, Loeb is writing a book.
You have? Okay. Well,
I want
good.
Patches. I like pouches. I like.
Oh, fair
pouches.
Enough. Fair enough.
The
Hawk
five,
and Dove.
You know though,
Hawk's got pouches.
The five letter thing's a throw off. It's Sentry.
Oh God.
Actually, though, the Cable kind of makes sense because Loeb. That was like one of his first big things.
But that's going to be their big announcement coming out of San Diego.
But nothing
Cable with
Loeb
Reborn.
Ever makes sense.
Wait, Loeb's writing a new book?
Yeah.
With McGinnis, right?
Yeah.
So that book's going to take 5 years.
Anything
that
those
Ed
two guys
McGinnis
do
is
going to be a big,
Cable
bombastic miniseries.
Yes. That, nothing happens.
But you say it's going to be fantastic.
He said bombastic.
No, bombastic. Just a big, loud, exploding mess.
Be one panel per page.
It'll be the six different colored Sentries.
Yeah. Be an 8-issue
with his daughter writing one.
Splash pages.
Okay, we've gone beyond reasonable sensibility.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up tonight. Thanks for calling in, Nick. We will talk to you guys next week. See ya.